And that wasn't shit through it either. All right. I had to get you to see why you need this, why we all need this, because we all have areas of our love walk that got things missing in it. Hallelujah. But I want to be perfected in it. In other words, God will add to me what is missing in my love walk. Hallelujah. So that I can walk more perfectly with him. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So I'll be more sensitive. Hallelujah. 1 John 2:5. Now I'm going to read out of the Amplified Bible. But he who keeps, treasures his word, who bears in mind his precepts, who observes his message in its entirety, truly in him has the love of and for God been perfected, completed, reached maturity. By this we may perceive, know, recognize, and be sure that we are in him. The first key to perfecting, to allowing God to perfect your love walk, is you being obedient to the word of God. Having a love for the word of God. Obeying the word of God. Amen? Hallelujah. So you have to have it. When love is really working in you, there's a desire to obey God. There's a desire to do the will of God. Psalm 143 says, teach me to do thy will, O God. Hallelujah. How many want God to teach you to do his will? See, that's how you know when you're walking in love, is that you want to obey God. And so the more you obey God, the more that love is going to be brought to completion in you. The more things that are missing from your life are going to be added. The more you obey the word, your obedience causes things to be added, not subtracted. Hallelujah. Every time you obey God, you just get something added to you. Something added to your character. Glory to God. Oh, my God. Something added to your account. Something added to your soulless area. Something added to your spirit, your inner man. And even something added to your physical man that might be missing. Because the scripture says that the word is medicine to all our flesh. When I start walking in love, all that power that's in that word begin to work in my spirit, my soul, and my body. I can get healed just by walking in obedience. Because when I'm walking in love, then God has total liberty to bring to pass his will in my life, which we know his will is good, right? His will is blessing. His will is life. His will is joy. His will is strength. And when you're walking in the love of God, then God is able to do in you what he desires to do. And you're the beneficiary of all that grace and all of that glory. Hallelujah. See, listen to it again. Let me read it in the King James, because I want you to see it. All right, look at verse 5. But whoso keepeth his word, right? Whoever keeps his word, in him truly is the love of God what? Perfected. So the more I obey God, the more things are going to be added to my spirit, the stronger my love walk is going to be. The greater my desire is going to be for God. Amen. Everybody say, I delight to do the will of God. Oh, God. Psalm 143:10 says, teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. Thy spirit is good. Lead me in the land of uprightness. Psalm 25. Turn over there real quick. Psalms 25. Listen to this right here. Boy, I wish we had time to read the whole thing. Verse 4 says this. Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth. Teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. Hallelujah. And then Psalm 40, we have them quoting Jesus. These are actually the words of Christ. I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yes, your law is within my heart. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So you have to get to a place, if you want to be perfected in love, you have to get to a place where you literally love the word of God, where you begin to pray prayers like that, and you begin to ask God, Lord, order my steps in your word. Hallelujah. Teach me to obey your word. Teach me to do your will. You got to have that working in you. And when that's working in you, I'm going to tell you, you're on your way to being perfected in love. I mean, having things added that's missing. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And the love of God in and of itself is complete, but sometimes what we have missing is our understanding of how to apply it and how to use it, because the love of God is in us. That's what I mean by that. Just wanted to clarify that. The love of God ain't nothing missing in it. It's our understanding, our ability to understand how to live in it and walk in it and to trust in it is what's missing. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You trust in the love of God. Do you, when you have an option, a choice, to go love's route or to go the flesh route, do you lean toward love? Even though love may seem like you're losing. That's why you got to trust. I'm not going to lose walking in love. Glory to God. The NIV says this, but if anyone obeys his word, God's love is truly made complete in him. This is how we know we are in him. He said, this is one of the ways that we know him. Because when we obey his word, his love, something starts happening in your love walk. Turn over to John chapter 14. Hallelujah. Everybody say, Lord, work in me. Hallelujah. I desire and I delight to do your will. Hallelujah. All right, look at John 14. Look at let's go back up to verse 21. He says, he that have my commandments and keepeth them. Sound like doing the word, right? He it is that what? Loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be what? Loved of my Father, and I will love him and will do what? Manifest myself to him. So Jesus said, if you keep my word, I'm going to reveal myself to you. In other words, you'll be seeing Jesus when nobody else can see him. Everybody, where he at? What do he look like? Show him to me. No, you can't see him with natural eyes. People want to see in the flesh. No, your spiritual eyes get open. He begins to reveal himself, make himself known to you when you obey his word. And when he begins to make himself known to you, that means you start learning his ways. Right? If you hang out with me, you're going to know me, right? You're going to start learning about me. You'll start knowing how I do things. You'll start learning how I think, how I see things. You'll start learning my decision-making process. How does Pastor Greg make decisions? Well, you won't know that unless you've been hanging around me. You won't know what I like and dislike unless you've been with me. Somebody I never met before, I can't tell you nothing about them. But if I spend time with them, then I'm going to start learning some things about them, how they do things. And because this is Jesus talking here, he said, I'm going to love him, and I'm going to reveal myself to the person that keeps my word. In fact, it is not the lip service. It is not the lip service, I love you, that counts. How many of you know everybody on Sunday morning say, oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me. They mind ain't a bit more on Jesus. Mine ain't nowhere on Jesus. They're thinking about fishing. They think about hunting. They think about the football game. This, you know, the Saints gonna be on at 1 o'clock. Hope Pastor don't take us into the first quarter. I wanted to see the player introductions. What are you gonna get out of that? Jesus said, he said, if you love me. Now, we're giving you Jesus' definition of love. He said, if you want to show your love for me, obey me. That's how I know you love me, by your obedience. It ain't by that, oh, how I love Jesus. That don't tell him nothing. He going to look at how you live and how much desire you have to do what he wants you to do. And that's how he determines your love. Every time I tell the Lord, I'm going to say most of the time, when I say, Jesus, I love you, I check myself. Have I been doing the word? Have I been walking in obedience? And if I haven't been doing good, I say, Jesus, I ain't been loving on you much. Help me. I got to get back. See, sometimes you lose your first love. See, this is what Jesus talking about, that church. They doing all these good things. I mean, they had it going on. You read Revelation chapter 3. They had it going on. He said, but I got one thing against you. You left your first love. You're not on fire for me like you used to be. You're doing, you got the programs, you got everything. But you don't love me like you used to love me. You used to stay up and read your Bible. You used to get up and pray when I told you. Now you're telling me to wait till in the morning. Look at verse 23. Jesus answered, said to him, he wanted to know, he said, how you going to show yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus answered, said to him, if a man love me, he said, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. In other words, he said, when you start walking in perfected love, Jesus said, me and the Father, we come live with you. We come in to make our abode. We're coming to abide wherever you at. We're going to be with you wherever you at. If you show your love, you know, we got that thing. Everybody show your love for someone. I'm going to tell you, if you show your love for Jesus, he come and stay. Yes. And when he's there, now he's going to be showing you what to do, how to do it. He'll be there when somebody shoot one of them fiery darts at you. He's there telling you how to handle that thing so that your love is perfected, so that your love is complete, so there's nothing missing in your love walk. Hallelujah. How many of y'all see that? The first key is doing what? Obeying the word, keeping that word, having a desire to obey God. Everybody say obedience. Shout it out. Obedience. That's one of the keys. I just gave you a scripture that told you that's how you perfect the love walk.
You have been listening to Living by the Word with your host, Greg Tejada, pastor of the Word Christian Center. I trust that you've received the Word of God that will change your life and make you strong. This message is available for a gift of $5 postage paid. If you would like a copy of today's message, call us at 318-442-8100. That's 318-442-8100. Or write us at P.O. Box 13195, Alexandria, Louisiana 71315. We invite you to join us every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. and Wednesday night at 7 p.m. for worship services. We're located at 4701 Lee Street in Alexandria, Louisiana, just two blocks off MacArthur Drive. Until next time, may God richly bless you.
KQJOFS. We're five cities strong all day long. Believe it. We've got Louisiana on lock.
May I have your attention?
The best of the old. The best of the new. The best variety in music.
Tons of music.
It's awesome.
On.
Online anytime. 24/7 at www.kaytfm.com.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's Word for your life today.
I want to call your attention to the book of Philippians, chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, and we're going to walk around through that, but I want to look at verse 13 as our launching scripture. Philippians 3, verse 13. Recorded are these words. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. You may be seated in his presence. As we Look at these words that Paul has uttered here. There is much, much to be gained from this particular verse, especially in reference to his personal pursuit of intimate and experiential knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, both of his resurrection and of his suffering. Paul pursues this knowledge in a highly desirable manner. Paul is interested in not just simply knowing Jesus, knowing about Jesus, but actually having an intimate knowledge with him. And you're going to discover that Paul has shared how he has been in pursuit of this knowledge at the cost of it costing him everything. He wants us to recognize that he's given up everything in pursuit of this knowledge. He wants us to know that he was a very accomplished man, one who had gained great notoriety. He had great honors. If you look in verses 5 through 7, he makes clear all of the things that he could brag about and boast about. But in verse 8, we discover that he chooses to remove all of those things from his life so that he would be able to pursue the Lord Jesus Christ and all the knowledge that's necessary to bring him into that high place of God, with everything being focused on him and removing all distractions. He said he count all of those things as loss. He uses a word in that 8th verse called dung. He counted as dung. He's saying it's as if it is worthless, valueless. And the word is a word that we, of course, use for feces. It is when excrement has come from the body. It is no longer useful. It is no longer productive. And once exiting the body, it is of no value anymore to you. He says that's how he feels about everything he has accomplished up till now. Now, when I say this, my brothers and sisters, Paul is trying to make clear to us that if you really want to know Jesus in an intimate way, because he says, and to know him, and he uses two actual words here. One is ginosko and the other is ginoskian. And one means intimate knowledge from the Hebrew word yada in the Old Testament, where it refers to Adam knowing Eve. It's a intimate, it is an intercourse intimacy. I mean, really intimate knowledge. But then he says, and to know him. And so it is then this knowledge that he wants to know, not just in general, but in reference to Jesus. You see, a whole lot of us just want book knowledge, but we don't want to know Jesus himself, who has made all of the knowledge plain and available to us. And that has to come through your experience with Jesus Christ. You know, one of the reasons why church folk don't get close to the Lord is because everything they know pretty much comes out of a book and not out of their experience. You have got to learn that the book simply introduces you to the knowledge so that you can invite the Savior into your heart, into your life, and the instructions by which the book reveals is that platform by which you operate. And the closer you get to him, listen, through the word, the closer he gets to you by coming into your life and living through those words. And so it's important to recognize Paul is making clear, I want to know him and the power of his resurrections. I want to know resurrection. I want to know him and in his sufferings. And I've shared with you before, the way that you really get to know a person is not when it's good, not when they're up, not when things are well, but when they're going through. You see, because there are things revealed when a person is going through that's not revealed at any other time. And see, when you're there with someone who's suffering and going through, you begin to know them because there are no pretenses. There are no performances. There are no masquerades. You begin to know the real person, the real feelings, the real thoughts. And Paul said, I want to know him in the fellowship of his sufferings. He said, but not only that, he said, I want to know him in the power of his resurrection. Why does he want to know these two things? Because first of all, if he gets to know Jesus in the fellowship of his sufferings and recognize what he went through, then it'll be easier for him as a believer to go through everything that he has to go through, knowing that he has dealt with Jesus and understanding that Jesus has said, what they've done to me, they're going to do to you. So if you become acquainted with understanding what they did to him, then you'll understand it's not personal when it happens to you. And so when you begin to recognize that he said not only that, but I want to know the power of his resurrection, because when I die, I want to make sure I don't stay dead. And the same power that resurrected him, I want to be confident when I close my eyes through the suffering and the pain and all that I go through as a result of living for him, that when these eyes are closed, they won't stay closed forever. The same resurrection power that raised Jesus is going to raise me also. Now, when you get to verse 13, he has already told you, listen, I'm in hot pursuit of this knowledge. I want this more than anything else I can think of. But then notice what he goes on and he deals with, because he deals with three things in this verse. He deals with virtue, he deals with varying views, and he deals with vision, all found in this verse. Because notice here the virtue in the verse. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. Now, he's being honest. He's being real. He's sharing with us the reality that although his pursuits are lofty, although the things he desires is far beyond the carnality of men and the mediocrity of Christianity, he wants an intimate relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ that separates him from church folk and real believers. And so he's saying, listen, I want you to know what I'm aiming at. I want you to know what I'm shooting for. I want you to know what I'm trying to lay hold of, what I'm trying to apprehend, what I'm trying to arrest. But he says, let me be clear with you. I ain't did it yet. Because some of the things that Paul wants to make clear to us that some of us forget to leave out is while we are better than we were and more mature than we used to be and we are stronger than we were in the past, we still aren't all of that yet. But some of us will make others believe that we are more than what we are. And Paul was careful to make sure of this because he had already said in the book of Galatians chapter 6 verse 3, if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. So Paul wants you to know, I'm not trying to fool myself. He says, brothers and sisters, I count not myself to have apprehended. So he's trying to let you know, he says, I'm on my way, but I ain't there yet. I've got some things that I have overcome, but I have not yet reached my desired goal. There are some things I've given up, and there are some things I have claimed. But the truth of the matter is, I have not reached my targeted goal. But listen to what he says. He says, but there is something that I have done. He says, but this one thing I do. And I like the way Paul puts this in present terms and not in past tense. Listen to what he says. He didn't say, but this one thing I did. He says, but this one thing I do. And I want you to focus in on this, because this is what every believer must do consistently to be able to move from one point to the next point, to be elevated from where you are to the next stage that God has prepared for you. He says, this one thing I do. What is that, Paul? Forgetting those things which are behind. Now, before I get into that, because that actually deals with my next point, here's what I need you to see about what Paul is saying. When he uses the word forgetting, it's important to recognize that there are certain elements about this word forgetting that the people of God must be clear about. And here it is that you might, if you're taking notes, I think it'd be helpful for you to jot this down. If Paul said, this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, but the process is forgetting. He didn't say forgotten. He didn't say forget. He says forgetting, which literally means that there are three things that must happen in order to forget. The first thing is you've got to purpose to forget. You don't just forget to forget. Especially, look at what Paul is dealing with. Paul is talking about all of the wonderful things that has happened in his life, all the accomplishments, all of the things that he could brag on, all of the things that he could become puffed up in. But listen at this, there is a flip side of that, to that reality. All of the disappointments, all of the distractions, all of the disturbances, and all of the things that try to destroy you, all of those things, if they are in your past, you must purpose to let them stay in your past. There are people today, believers today, who have had things to happen to them last year, year for last, 5 years, when they were children, that they still have not been able to forget. And so what happened in the past is still present with them today, because they're remembering them as if they had just happened today. Now listen at this. Whether it's good or it's bad, if it happened in the past and it's keeping you from getting to where you're going to, leave it in the past. The first thing you need to do about dealing with your past is purposing to leave it there. I'm not going to keep thinking about this, good or bad. I'm not going to keep going back down memory lane, looking at pictures and looking at wind and looking at old videos and looking at old trophies and looking at all the I'm going to put all of that in the past where it happened at. I'm purposing not to go back down memory lane. All right. Now, because There are times you don't decide to go down memory lane. Things happen and the thought pops up. But because you purposed that you're not going to revisit that, when they pop up, you knock them down. That's in the past. That's in the past.